Hi there.
Gay is not sin. Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. No place in the Bible does it condemn gays. We're living in some exciting times. And there's some interesting things that needs to be done here.
Yeah?
You know, I want to see if I can help you understand what's about to happen. We all know that there's something called the tribulation coming. Well, most of us kind of think that we're going to miss it. We're pre-tribbers, you know. We're going to take the first ticket to home. We're going to miss it all. That's not what the Bible says. That's what your pastor might tell you. That's what a lot of these prophecy rallies or something, you go and listen to some of these people. You turn on TBN or something like that, one of the other networks, you're going to hear things that goes along with that Left Behind series. You know, the book that came out, they even had a movie. And a long time ago, in the 70s, they even had other little movies that they had that showed that some people got left behind. You all kind of get left behind. If you believe the Left Behind books, you're going to get left behind. Because the tribulation is going to come. And it's going to go. And the days are going to go on, and you're going to be scratching your head saying, why am I here? You believe in Jesus. You love Jesus. Why are you here? It's obviously, because there's a two witnesses, it's obviously the tribulation period. Why am I here, you'll say? Because you think you would have missed it. And there you are, you're watching the two witnesses. You don't like what they're saying. You say, I'm not supposed to be here. How could I get left behind? You got left behind because you're listening to stuff that isn't true. You hear me? You go into church. I don't care what church it is. You go into church. You get out your Bible. And you're trying to figure out because, you know, you get conditioned. Just like the gay issue. You're so conditioned, you believe you're conditioning, and then when you read the Word and you see some things that sound like something, your conditioning hops in there and defines the Word of God for you, so you don't have to study. You just look at it and you say, hey, Sodom, I have to be gay because that's what I know all my life. When in actuality, you do a little study, you find out Sodomite means male temple prostitute, and you could do a little bit more study, and you could actually fly over some place, you take a bus or taxi, do a little walk, and you know, and you can look at these fertility temples, and you can see the carvings on the walls and all this kind of stuff. Paul actually toured a fertility temple. Really famous one, you know, I got that big, huge on the hill over there in Corinth area there. Paul went into a temple, walked down Turin, you know. Not long ago, a couple years ago, I went to Paris. And one of the things you can see there is Notre Dame, the Catholic church there. You know, we got a lot of movies going on with that church there. But here I am, I'm walking in there. I got my camera going. I do a little part of my program. I went and did all my program at the river right by it because it's on a little island. People, this is what Paul did. I'm not a Catholic. Never, ever going to ever be a Catholic, no matter what. There's so many things that I don't believe that they believe. There's a lot of Christians in the Catholic Church. I believe that, but I believe the Vatican got a lot missing. They're a lot more evil than you'd ever imagine. They caused a lot more things for Antichrist on purpose. They did it purposely to deceive masses of people, and they're still doing it today. Don't go believing the Pope is a Christian, because he ain't. I don't care what you think, he just isn't. Period. He's got his history behind him. He is in a position where he takes over. He can't just be the Pope, just like he can't just be the President of the United States. You can't just be a leader of a country. You can't just be a senator. You just can't be these things. You just cannot be these things. Very wrong. If you're not any connection before, in very short order, you're connected so deep that you never get out of it. The controlled. I call them the Masons. 33rd degree level and above. You're controlled. If you're a low-level Mason, you're just kind of like church folk. In fact, up to third-level Mason, it is like church. But if you want to go to the fourth level, you got to give up this God idea of being who he is. You know, you got to kind of start changing into architect of the universe and so forth. But Paul, he's sitting there. I'm going to turn it. Now, he could have had all kinds of motives, you know. When, you know, he wants to get some side-on, you know, hands-on experience of, oh, yeah, there's this. Oh, yeah. Or he might have just thought, you know, just like any of us, you know, it doesn't matter what the place was. Christians go to Egypt all the time, and they've gone to the pyramid, and they've gone to all of these places of the pharaohs and everything. Pharaohs weren't no Christians. But we as Christians, we go there and we tour it and we look at all the writings and some of us study it. You know that? For what purpose? To learn things so you could speak better later on, or just because you're curious, you just want to know what makes the world tick, then you'll be a wiser person. Doesn't make you a less Christian or anything, but it makes you understand what happened around you. And Paul, for whatever reason he went in, maybe he had some vacation time coming or something, you know. A friend of his had two tickets to go tour the temple. Anyway, he was in this temple. And here he is walking down, and he looks down this one aisleway, a really wide aisleway, and they had a series of statues going down there. And so he went over there like that. There's one little statue there, big statue, you know, you don't, they don't do little. Anyway, and it says, this is a statue to the unknown God. Got to cover our bases, need an unknown God. Remember in Rome, in one of his epistles, he said, and here you got a statue to the unknown God. And Paul went on to preach the gospel from there. And here, this is who this unknown God is. But he's going on, you know, and he's looking. See, this is a fact. This isn't some fiction. It is not a make-up thing. It is nothing I'm guessing and wishing about, like so many of you like to do. You get the Bible and you want to guess and wish. You can't just read the Bible and you just wish what you thought it was is right. You got to gather together the facts. Oh, my pastor said, how did he get it? You could track down how he got it, too. You can find the college he went to, find his background and so forth, and see where he learned his information. It might be true. I mean, that's the whole idea. You don't get the education, it could be better served to you. Doesn't mean you're going to get right information on every single subject. So what I'm telling you about what Paul did is an absolute fact. It happened. You can't wish it away. He did go in this temple. And when did he go? Before he wrote the book of Romans. What did he see? The statue to the unknown God. What else did he see? Well, it's a big temple, you know. Orgy rooms. You know what orgies are, don't you? But this isn't just happy, wonderful, everybody gathered together and have sex like crazy. No, it's not that. This is a fertility temple. You do these things as a ritual. It's all lust and all that kind of stuff, you know, vile affections and all that going on. All this kind of stuff is happening, but it is happening with a motivation. This is a worship. This is a ritual to the fertility gods. And this is the most famous temple. They're popular. There's more than one orgy room. But he's still going through this temple. Well, you know, we know that this temple had over 1,000 temple prostitutes. Not a guesswork. You don't have to wonder what's happening. And you know what Paul did after that? He went to Rome. You know, that's where he's bound for. He was on his way to Rome. You know, got to Rome. Before he went there, he did some writing. The book of Romans.
And you got the book of Romans, that chapter 1, you know, verse 26 and 7. You always like to pick that out. For some reason, you hate to go to the beginning of the story, like verse 18, and then go to the end, verse 32. Because if you did things like that, you would have known it wasn't talking about gays, because you had to have straight adults. Because if you're really, really, really believing that it's gays it's talking about in 26 and 27, then they cannot be gay to begin with. They have to be straight. And it already is giving you enough detail to know they're not kids. They're adults. And it says they already knew God. So you've got lots of material here told in the verse themselves. And they turned from God and went to gods. What kind of gods? Fertility gods. We read the Bible through and through. The New Testament, the Old Testament, doesn't hardly matter. You find infertility temples everywhere. The nation of Israel were always going to fertility temples. And they had to be told, don't do that kind. Sometimes it is real terrible. Sometimes good kings came along. They tore down all these kinds of fertility temple types of things and poles and all that. And it's not so nice when you start to learn what those poles were for. When you study, you learn things. And the same type of deal is when your pastor says that we will not go into the tribulation because we're not going to go there. We might experience a little trouble, but we're not going to go. The Bible doesn't say that. But study would show you a few things because we have the whole Bible. What is it when so extremely powerful we can call them superpowers? Why not? Russia is a superpower. The United States is a superpower. We like to say Russia's not a superpower. They're just in the news saying how they're making a new advanced kind of stuff, a nuclear type of weapon. They're not going to aim at anybody, but they're going to have them. And they're saying they know for a fact nobody else got them, like the ones they're making. There's no superpower, but we don't like to call them a superpower. Their bombs didn't just go away. They just kind of moved it out this way so it doesn't look like it's pointed at the United States. But we're not pointing at anybody. Who's anybody? Guam? Yeah. Well, they might, because the U.S. owns Guam, so I guess can't use Guam as an example. They moved them out because they don't support the United States, because there's nobody else to worry about. China's hardly a bother. I mean, we'd like to talk about some of these little countries, got a few little bombs here and there. Yeah, you know, one bomb is nasty. Did a lot of damage if it gets through. But there wouldn't be any country left when we got through with them. And we'd be missing a city or two, but we act like that it's all our holocaust from these small little countries that's got some of these kind of weapons. They got a few. Eight, something like that, some of them. China, big old China. They got a few. They ain't going to do us any harm. But we like to make it sound scary. Russia, they've got as many still there, you know, they can annihilate the world many times over, just like we can. They didn't go away, but we don't want to talk about them. They're our friend now. When you study and you learn things, you find out things. In the Bible, kings rose in the nation of Israel. Some were good, some were bad. When you go through all the kings, it's either 50-50 or it's actually more kings were bad kings than there were good kings. And the good kings sometimes were bad before they got good. And sometimes the good kings turned bad. All this kind of stuff going on here. Israel was full of all kinds of things. People to disobey God, turning from God and all that, and doing it. What did God do? God has a behavior. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He all does it the same way. He raises up superpowers. Israel is a superpower. Nobody can beat them. As soon as they disobey, turning to other gods, they're not so strong anymore. And these other countries, somehow God goes over them. They're worshiping all kinds of other gods, but there's God of the Bible, Father of Jesus Christ, over there, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, who, you know, all these different kinds of things became superpowers. And what is it? Made them powerful. Bless them. As they worship these others. Hey, you know, our gods are great. They say, look, we are superpower. No, it's not their God. It's God of the Bible making them, grooming them into a superpower. For what reason? To go to Israel, kill them, hurt them, maim them. To make it nice, we just say, go to spank them. They've been naughty. And so they spank them. God raises other countries up to power to come in to spank Israel. The worse Israel is, the more often that they disobey, the bigger the spanking. Until finally, they were scattered all around the world and there's no Israel left. You're all taken into captivity at one time. And finally, they're ultimately all thrown around the world. In 1948, they were brought back. And that generation won't pass away. Now, we follow the Old Testament and we discover when God's people disobey, God rises up nations. Now, there's a little bit different. After Jesus died, God hasn't changed his scheduling, his restrictions on his behavior are set on himself. He says, I am not going to do what I do, but when I do it, it's going to be like I always am. Because I'm the same. And how is God always? Over the last 2,000 years, there's been this and that and the other thing where God's children had to get spanked in certain kinds of ways. And usually, nobody even has a clue that God's spanking. They want to make it the enemy. Oh, we're being attacked by enemy. And so forth and so on. We don't like to say God is doing it. However, there are other prophets out there saying God is spanking you. God is spanking you. And you don't. No. They're just the enemy. They don't believe in God. They're trying to ask to attack us. We've got to get strong and attack them back and win. You know, all kinds of stuff that goes on. But God is waiting. The tribulation, what is the tribulation? Is it believers? Is Antichrist a obedient believer in Jesus Christ? Is he a worshiper? Is he a follower? Is he a child of God that comes? No, he's not. Is the people that Satan has under his arms, as it were, bringing in, are these wonderful believers? No, they're not. They're non-believers. The leaders of countries, the powers that be, the superpowers that be, do they like Christians? And you can know by your own pastor's teaching and your own prophecy rallies as it is and your own understanding of the world, generally speaking, the governments of the world are not particularly prone to liking Christians and are, we love to always try to say, they're taking our rights away and all that as Christians. But we don't want to say, oh, evil is growing worse. Why? How? Oh, it's because it's a sign of the end times. There's no magic in the Bible. There's no magic in the things and the events that are happening around us. When Christians misbehave, disobey, it can't just be a small little group. It's got to be a church-wide thing. Just like the nation of Israel, there's always those followers that didn't turn themselves over to Baal. Now, you have to think about it for a minute. Few people didn't turn to Baal. They stayed faithful to God. Now, you tell me, how did you get to be one of those faithful that stayed faithful? Somehow, everyone that's listening to me that calls themselves Christian are these wonderful faithful ones that didn't turn? Sorry, it doesn't work like that, people. You could believe you're wonderful, but it'd be a disobedience to a very severe degree. In Leviticus chapter 26, we have four levels of disobedience. We're in that fourth level.
It's like the Richter scale. If my people do not obey me, then I will do this in a long list of stuff. When all that list of stuff is done, and if my people still won't obey me, I will do all this stuff 7 times worse. And then this goes on again, 7 times worse. Until the 4th level, 7 times worse. And that is like the Richter scale on earthquakes and stuff like that. Each notch significantly larger than the notches before. By leaps and bounds, it is almost unthinkable how it is so much bigger. And this is what is with these 7 times worse. When you get to that 4th level of 7 times worse and read all that kind of stuff that is describing that is terrible, it hasn't happened like that. It just hasn't. It hasn't happened to the... I mean, it's been some bad times in life that's gone by, really bad. If you were in the little group of people that got some bad things happen to them, you'd think it's the end of the world. There's nothing could be worse because people could do really bad things to people in little kind of groups, you know. Sometimes a pretty big type of deal, but it almost seems like it's really terrible. This must be true.